forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's October 24th, 2012, and this is episode number 49. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. Some of you will remember my big get from January, when Santa Claus, one of the world's most famous seasonal workers, sat down to speak with me after his work for the year was done. This interview also concerns seasonal work. Ryan Armstrong, who is a technical documentation director at a software company in Atlanta, chatted with me about the Halloween gig he used to have. So I'm talking this evening with Ryan Armstrong. And Ryan, from what I understand from seeing you speak, you do a number of things very well, but the thing that piqued my interest was your mentioning having written scripts for haunted houses. So let's start there. What was that all about?
Well, I guess it was around 8 years ago was the first script I wrote, and it was a new haunted house back home in South Carolina who was looking for something different. They were trying to get away from some of the things that have been done over and over and over, and trying to get away from the gore fests that were really popular back then and still kind of are, and then trying to do something that wouldn't offend the people of the town. So I started writing some things that were, you know, interesting and scary, building a story around it. There was a time when all haunted houses for a while seemed to be, you know, you go into one room and it's one scene. You go to the next room, there's another scene. You go to the next room, another scene. And it was just scare after scare after scare. Nothing really built on itself. So we started working on some things that were a huge storyline that kind of encompassed the entire show. And we would basically document each room you know, the technology behind what has to be done for the scare, and then the script for the actors, and just what we expect people to do. And it was pretty fun.
So how did you even, you know, come across that as something to work on? Like, did you know the people? How does that happen?
No, I actually didn't. I was involved with, it goes back even further. My first real job out of college, I started working, I volunteered on a team that was basically put together social events. It was basically a team building team.
Oh, okay, so like morale building.
Morale building. And we would do events for pretty much all the major holidays. And so we started doing one for Halloween. And that was the first time I really got into doing a haunted house. We had old training trailers in the back that were basically we were doing nothing with, and they weren't going to be moved until after the first of the year. So we were told to have fun with those. We had a little budget. We put together a cool little haunted house that people really enjoyed. And I started getting active on Halloween message lists that was called Halloween-L. It was an old school mailing list. Mm-hmm. And just from there, I met a lot of people who were really good at what they did. And I found someone locally who was just publishing a question, and we kind of collaborated offline.
So has Halloween always kind of been a big thing for you?
It was. My dad kind of got me started when I was young. I used to decorate my grandmother's house because she kind of lived in a rural area and was right on the edge of what you might consider a neighborhood, and it was, you know, trees everywhere. It was really spooky anyway. So we started decorating there, and I was one of those kids that I did it because I was really afraid of everything. So as long as I was the one scaring people, I was okay. I just hated to be scared myself.
I love it. Because I'm realizing, I don't think I've ever been in a haunted house. And so when you mentioned scripts, it honestly hadn't occurred to me that those would even be required. So can you give us kind of a peek behind the scenes? You know, what does go into creating the whole experience?
Well, it really depends on the haunt. The one I worked on in here in Atlanta that was, it's no longer around, but it was pretty big for a number of years. And the scripts really, we didn't use it beyond the planning stage. And basically what the planning stage was, when we designed the house, it ended up being, we had blueprints, we had an architect help draw the blueprints, because you had to have really real walls built, depending on the type of structure you had. So it had real architecture plans. And then we just had a room list. And as you went through each room, there would be a script for what people would say. Because if you leave it up to them to, especially if you're getting teenagers to do most of your acting, you'll get the same thing from every room. Just boring moans. They start saying the same things. So it really becomes, you have to, yeah.
I really like the idea of a boring moan, by the way.
And honestly, and you get a kid who's been working for 3 hours, they're tired, they've seen face after face, and they're like, oh, okay, next group. And it goes really fast. Most of these haunted houses that have several hundred people a night, they go really fast. And to get a good scare, the kids really have to know what they're doing. Uh-huh. So to have a real script where they actually have lines to say, things to do, marks to hit, and then timing that they have to work out, it's really important that that's written down somewhere.
Right. So now this might be pushing my luck, because I know you said it was some years ago, but was there a particular line or a scene that you helped create that you still think fondly of? Like, what's an example of a good scare?
We had one. There was one house that I really enjoyed. Basically, the story was that this old family back in the 1800s ran an asylum, and this was before the new American Horror Story Asylum came out. So,
okay.
But he had an asylum, and the things that he did in the asylum basically caused the spirits to stick around. And it's been a couple hundred years later, something's happened in the world, and the spirits are escaping from the area. And so basically everything was built indoors. Mm-hmm. So we brought a lot of trees. We made trees inside. There were columns that we used this stuff called monster mud to make trees out of them with gnarly and then leaves hanging down with gnarly roots and basically turned this giant room into a swamp. Huh. And they had to walk through this area that we basically built into a shed. So it looks like you're walking through a shed and then out into the swamp. And people were really disconcerted by, hey, wait, are we still outside? Are we inside? Because we had fog going in. The room was really cold. And you know, in October in Atlanta, still not really that warm.
Mm-hmm.
But it really lived up to the work we put into it.
Yeah.
But part of that was the other side. There was one scene that I really thought was really cool. It was basically a crematory scene, and we had a guy laying on a gurney or on a sliding table, and we designed this system where the guy slides in, somebody pulls him from the back end, slides in, strobe lights, there's smoke, and then he comes back out, and it's a totally different guy, but he has on latex, so it looks like he's been burned. So that really got people pretty good, because they didn't expect that to come out after somebody just went in. So
yeah, no, you've pretty much ruined my good night's sleep, I think.
Sorry.
Just telling me about that. So am I right that you were actually making a living doing this, or was this like something you did on the side?
I did it on the side. It was never the only people who could really make a living at it are the people who were running the houses. Mm-hmm. They made a fairly decent seasonal amount of money, but they put in tons of money. It's not a way to make a killing. I know there's a few who do make a good bit of money, but it's because they also have day jobs, and you know, they're not living on that money. It's really, they do it for the love.
Yeah.
And they do it for the a little bit of a return, but everything goes into the next year.
Right. So did you ever consider kind of going pro, or what? How did you get into technical communications from all that?
No, well, I was technical communications way before. No, I have four kids. There's no way I would even consider it. I've actually only thing I do these days is I decorate our yard.
Okay.
We don't even do a haunted house anymore. I mean, when my wife and I first were married, before we even had kids, we used to do a home haunt. Yeah. For all the neighborhood kids, and we would have 200 or 300 kids come through our house and yard and everything else, and that was a lot of fun. But now it's just with four kids who are all in their own activities, they all want us to do something, but we really right. can't do more than just decorate the front yard.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing just right there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yes. Well, thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
All right, thank you.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Ryan Armstrong. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to Works Do. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@worksdo.com, by posting a comment on the Works Do website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.